Hello, everyone. Welcome to the weekly newscast here on PWPonderings.com, where we discuss all the news in indie wrestling. And man, do we have a ton of stuff to talk about. Lots of Ring of Honor news to go through, lots of Midwest promotion stuff to go through. Really a lot of fun, a lot of stuff happened this past weekend. Of course, I'm Chris GST, I am the web admin. As always, I'm joined by Jerome Cusson, our senior editor. Jerome, how are you doing, sir?
I am doing pretty well, Chris. It has been a weekend of piping hot takes coming from the Midwest scene. There are all kinds of rumors with a Z coming out about certain wrestlers. We're going to get to all that news. But I think first we have to start with Ring of Honor, their weekend in the Midwest, which was a big financial success, I guess. Huge crowds in both Milwaukee and Chicago. I guess Chicago did something like 1,200 to 1,400 people, one of the biggest crowds the Ring of Honor has had probably since the last time Samoa Joe wrestled in 2008. So looking forward to hearing what our guest Greg Davis has to say about that.
Yes, we have Greg on the line, someone who was there live at both shows. He's quite the trooper. Greg, how are you doing, man?
I'm doing fine. How about you guys?
Doing very well. Pretty excited, actually. Got some pretty interesting things to talk to you about. Of course, you were at both shows. We're going to run down the events. Of course, you can check out other results. We got PWI Pros, International Night of Champions, Queens of Combat, and CZW's iPay-per-view results, and more. You can go check them out, pwponderings.com/results. But really, the meat of the discussion here is going to be Ring of Honor. Greg, before I run down some of the major points that happened this weekend, how were both shows overall? Did you enjoy one more than the other? How was it?
I feel like I enjoy Chicago more because, you know, being from Chicago area, I just, you know, like that. I feel like both shows were lacking compared to, I believe, the Death Before Dishonor shows, because there was just so much talent there. I don't think, outside of Monster Mafia, I don't think there's really any kind of, and they're not really local per se, but very little enhancement talent. While here, the lineup was up and down filled with local talent. And nothing wrong with that. You guys have talked about how you need to see new talent, but it really kind of showed the kind of lack of star power, like no Bucks, Styles, Patron. And yeah, we had Joe, but it was really noticeable. In fact, I'll say like the first half of Milwaukee, I was like halfway through this, like, this sucks. Why'd I drive up here?
Then it kind of turned around. You drove to see the Beer City Bruiser, Greg. What are you saying? He was the draw, right?
No. Oh, jeez. The first time I saw him is like, what the hell? And I don't really watch the TV that much, so this was my first time seeing him. And Beer City Bruiser, that was the best you could bring in as loco. I guess not the best, but...
Right? When you sent me that dark match, so you had Shyam Ali, Tyler Thomas, and Danny Adams defeating John Greed, Davey Vega, and Jake Durden. I was like, John Greed or Davey Vega couldn't have had that spot?
Exactly. I mean, saw Vega there. It's like, come on, he needs to be on the main card. What is wrong with you people? But anyway, like I said, you know, a pretty bad first half. There's some good in it, but I felt there's a lot of bad in it. Then things turned around. We got to the meat of the roster and a very good second half of the show, except for the main event, which is now Ring of Honor tradition. Your main events are going to suck, apparently. But all in all, you know, the top matches of Milwaukee, left away satisfied, happy customer. And then Chicago, you know, it was a little, there were some good matches there, no doubt. I think the personal highlight for me was it was a street fight where the crowd was chanting, "This sounds awesome." I just don't know why I find that so amusing, but there you go. But I'll say, even like the good matches, the stipulations were terrible. This Proving Ground instant reward. Can we talk about that? That's like so stupid.
Yeah. We'll get into that. That concept, okay. I get it, and you kind of are like, you looked at when they announced most of the matches and they started filling out the card and you're like, okay, I see 1, 2, 3 Proving Ground, really? You know, and you're just like, someone didn't plan ahead. But yeah, so I'll get in this. So Roderick Strong, this is Milwaukee, of course, March 13th. Roderick Strong defeated Arya Daivari. Will Ferreira defeated Silas Young via disqualification. Greg, I'm going to ask you to describe that in a little bit, because I'm Silas Young doing what he did. I like it, but kind of wonky. Mark Briscoe defeated the Beer City Bruiser. Roppongi Vice, who I think everyone was looking forward to seeing, Rocky Romero and Trent Beretta, defeated the Decade. Of course, this is leading into a match that's coming up at Supercard of Honor. And some rumors as Jerome mentioned, that we'll be discussing. Matt Taven defeated Cheeseburger. Michael Elgin defeated Josh Alexander, which I'm assuming was a pretty good match. And Samoa Joe defeated ACH. And then the Champions Challenge. Red Dragon, the Ring of Honor World Tag Champions, defeated the World Champion Jay Briscoe and the TV Champion Jay Lethal after Lethal and Briscoe couldn't get along and Lethal was submitted by O'Reilly, which makes sense. But I'm pretty sure, and I'm going to assume Jerome will agree with me, that's just one of the lazier booking things you could do, right? So, and then on March 14th, you had a Romantic Touch defeat Stokely Hathaway in a dark match. Jay Diesel defeated Will Ferreira. ACH defeated Jimmy Jacobs, which led to more between BJ Whitmer and Jimmy Jacobs about the whole Code of Honor being, Jimmy Jacobs wanting to uphold the Code of Honor, BJ Whitmer not wanting him to, and this is leading into Jacobs versus Whitmer very quickly at Supercard of Honor, and we'll talk about why. Four Corner Survival Proving Grounds match for the main event. Silas Young defeated Mark Briscoe, Matt Taven, and Roderick Strong. Jay Lethal defeated Cliff Compton in a street fight, which, as you said, Greg, I'm sure was great for the crowd that could see it in whatever area they were in at the time. Maybe not so great for everyone else. The Beer City Bruiser got a win, defeating Cheeseburger. Tommaso Ciampa came out. He cut a promo, talked about his injured ribs. You said the promo was finally interrupted by Silas Young, and basically Silas said, you know what, you're hurt, go to the back, so the last real man can have his, you know, his title match. And Tommaso Ciampa also mentioned something interesting, I guess, that he's a free agent because he hasn't gotten a new contract yet. Jerome, I know that probably is making you groan somewhere. Then you have a Proving Ground Instant Reward match for the Ring of Honor World title. Jay Briscoe defeated Silas Young, so he didn't even get the title shot. And then another Proving Ground Instant Reward for the Ring of Honor tag titles. Roppongi Vice defeated Red Dragon, so they won the Instant Reward. They got a tag title shot, and they lost. And then Samoa Joe defeated Michael Elgin to finish out the show. So all of that said, before Greg answers my many, many questions about it, Jerome, reading those results, what were your thoughts?
To be fair, you know, I haven't seen the shows, so I think Greg is going to really sort of carry this part of the show. I guess in reading those results, as someone who was considering going to these shows at some point, I can't say I was all that disappointed by missing it. Especially, the only thing that I was sort of sad about is that, you know, I was worried I wasn't going to see Samoa Joe live. And thankfully, AEW has rectified that, so I'm going to see Samoa Joe on April 10th live. But, I mean, these two cards just seem incredibly, incredibly weak. And, you know, I know that there was a pretty good portion of the roster was not on this show. Michael Bennett was traveling. Tommaso Ciampa wasn't there. No Cedric Alexander for whatever reason. So you had a lot of guys not booked, and you just had a lot of filler matches involved. And Chris, Matt Sydal was supposed to be wrestling on these shows, correct?
Yes, he was at one point announced. But I believe they told people that he wouldn't be there.
Right, yeah. I mean, I totally... There's nothing you can do about the Matt Sydal injuries, but, you know, that really hurts these cards. And, you know, I think I've said this almost every week, but Ring of Honor has major talent depth problems, especially, you know, when you look at that mid card and that undercard. I mean, you look at that Milwaukee show and it's pretty barren. I see using the Beer City Bruiser. I mean, that to me is a waste of a spot. That's a guy who is never going to realistically make it onto the Ring of Honor main roster. That is a spot where you have Davey Vega. Davey Vega is at least a prospect. He's a guy that could be a Ring of Honor guy, you know, in the next couple of years, or, you know, maybe even this year, particularly when you have two shows like this that are not being taped for TV, even if they end up doing some Road Rage episodes. You know, this is the weekend where you should be taking a look at some of the quality wrestlers that are in the Midwest. There are tons of Midwest wrestlers who could be very good. You know, Arya Daivari got a shot in Milwaukee. Then he's nowhere to be found in Chicago. Josh Alexander, very similar situation. You know, he has a...
We actually have someone in the chat room also saying, why didn't Matt Cage get a shot? It's like, yeah, it's all these guys in the Midwest.
I mean, there's tons of guys. There's Christian Rose. There's, you know, the list could go on and on. A team like Zero Gravity. There's so many guys in the Midwest. Lewis Linden, who I know had an opportunity to wrestle at the Dayton show. But there's no consistency. They're bringing these guys to sort of fill spots on the card, and they're not looking at these guys as potential prospects. And that is an egregious mistake by this company. You know, it's nice that they have these camps, and if that's how they want to evaluate talent and build their roster, I mean, they're going to continue to run into these problems, because what established Midwest talent? Why is Davey Vega, why is Lewis Linden, why are these guys going to go to some Ring of Honor camp when they're as good as any, as a lot of the guys that are already on the roster? So it doesn't make sense to me. There are very frustrating aspects to what Ring of Honor is doing right now, and then you end up with a weekend like this. And, you know, it's fine that Samoa Joe's back, and, you know, drawing 1,200 people is pretty damn impressive. But what about the long term for Ring of Honor? That's what they're not doing right now. They're not building to a long term goal. Instead, the short term. As we were talking about off the air, Greg mentioned this, you know, Alberto El Patron comes in, beats a number of different guys, wrestles Jay Lethal for title, and he may never be seen in Ring of Honor again. Samoa Joe is on a path to where he's beating a number of guys, including Michael Elgin and ACH, two guys who are going to be around Ring of Honor long after Samoa Joe is wherever he's going. And, you know, he's going to be losing to Jay Briscoe. But what does that really do for Ring of Honor in the long term? It's great to draw these kinds of crowds, but at some point, the well's going to dry up of these big-time talents, and eventually the chickens are going to come home to roost, and Ring of Honor is going to have to build these talents. And they should be doing that now instead of waiting to when the landscape is barren, so to speak.
I'm going to disagree with you on a little bit, just saying that I think the latter half of both shows, I think the matches are well worth checking out. I mean, Roppongi Vice, Malachi Elgin versus Josh Alexander, Joe and ACH, even Will Ferrer versus Silas Young, I'm really interested in. But I do get what you're saying, is that
argument is, I'm not making an argument about match quality. I'm sure the matches were generally very good because there's a lot of really good wrestlers still on the roster. My problem is it's never been about the wrestling. It's about the booking decisions that are being made by Delirious. That's what my problem is.
Well, Greg, you were at both shows, so why don't you give some of your thoughts on some of the younger talents that were used, such as guys like Josh Alexander, Arya Daivari, and Davey Vega that got a chance, you know, and stuff like that. What were your overall thoughts?
I thought Arya Daivari was one of my favorites of the Milwaukee show as far as like non-regular talent. It's him and Josh Alexander. He stood out very well. I felt his character came across very well, very charismatic. He held up well in the ring with Roderick Strong. They had a very good match. I felt he made a great impression. Definitely like to see more of them. You mentioned Will Ferrara and Silas Young. I thought it was terrible. I mean,
you were there live, so I'm just saying it could have been a good match.
Yes, but it could have been. It was an okay. I mean, it was an okay match. I think Jerome likes to look big picture here. You have the man who got a title match the next day. The day before, he's having trouble hitting his finisher. He can't get the win.
Will Ferrara.
Yeah, exactly. So you know, if you look at things in a vacuum, you don't complain as much, but when you look at things, you know, show to show, it's like, what are you doing? So that was, I mean, pretty bad. And then, of course, Mark Briscoe, Beer City Bruiser, sorry.
How was
like
the Funky Vice versus the Decade, though?
I think I had very high expectations, and ridiculously high, as in, you know, came away slightly disappointed, not to say they were terrible. But I feel like, you know, there's going to be some chemistry that needs to be developed. I'm not sure how long they've been wrestling together. I mean, I don't know. I mean, obviously, it's the Forever Hooligans replacement team. So I don't know how many matches they have together. But it seems like it could work. I felt the crowd didn't really care for Beretta at all. It's like, they just didn't, you know, I felt it was like it'd be this huge act coming in. And, you know, the crowd didn't seem to care. I mean, partially you could say it might be the Decade, you know, stink coming on them. But I mean, the match was fine, just it wasn't really kind of any kind of epic match, and maybe it shouldn't be at that point in the card, but I like the potential of RPG Vice and seeing where they'll go, and obviously they're going to be in New Japan coming up here very shortly, so there's a lot of potential there. I'm looking forward to that, but as a starting point, it was okay, not amazing, at least for Milwaukee. We'll get to Chicago later on. Matt Taven, I mean, this is where the show kind of turned around at this point. Very The crowd very much remembers the past shows, including a lot of stupid things. Like, remember when Matt Taven was a face briefly? And I think he got a world title shot on one of the shows.
That happened.
Yeah. He suck up to the crowd. He said, "I'm going to give you all, we're all going to get shots when I win." So it became a thing, every move he did, shots, you know, like, hey, and whatever else, or yes, if you will. So the crowd remembered it here.
You still haven't got those, have you?
No. Not at all. But here, this crowd just kept saying that over and over. So at least it made the match a little more entertaining. Not to say it was bad, you know, Cheeseburger, Taven. It was not amazing, but whatever. Elgin and Alexander. This is one of, you know, two matches you got to see. You know, a very important point here. Josh Alexander was a last-minute fill-in because Sydal got hurt. Think about who they brought in, and only brought in Alexander because there was an injury. That's ridiculous. But for match itself, Elgin, I know he's been pushing guys like Alexander and Page and, you know, Silas, and he made him a star as much as he could in that match. It was fantastic. The crowd, you know, a little warm on Alexander. They were chanting, "Let's go, blue guy." You know, a little homage to Leva Bates, but you know, the crowd loved it. It was a fantastic match. You know, Elgin with a freaking hard lariat for the win. And at the end, you know, when the crowd was chanting, "Thank more blue guy," he tells him to be quiet and says, "His name is Josh Alexander." So doesn't fit in the character he has now, this kind of heelish dick thing he's doing. But you know, it did help make Josh Alexander stand out. So hey, hope he gets more bookings out of that.
And then Joe and ACH, I have to assume, as good as I think it was, right?
Yeah, I mean, as far as making ACH look good, at first it was like, it was Joe overpowering him. So it was just great to see the Monster Joe come back. Kind of overpowering ACH, not so much of a fan of that, but he did hold his own as it kind of went on, and ended up being a very good match. I mean, Joe is a freaking beast. I mean, you forget it from all those years in TNA where he was just phoning it in because he didn't care and whatever. I'm just glad he's back, and who knows what his future is going to be in NXT or whatever, but enjoy these matches as you're getting them. In the main event, I don't know what they were thinking here. It was just, you know,
it's kind of lazy booking, but you also realize that they're furthering the storyline of, oh, because somewhere down the line, and we'll probably get into those rumors too, with the Briscoes and what may or may not be going on there, but it's like, okay, at some point Jay Lethal and Briscoe are going to go head to head, but
so you're saying this match was done for the sole purpose of giving Jay Lethal the title? You think he's next champion? That's the only reason.
I'm not saying he will be the next champion, but obviously they're going to, you know, because they have the whole thing going on with Jay Lethal saying the TV title is the main title in Ring of Honor. And then you have Jay Briscoe saying, no, my world title is. You know, it's very similar to what Joe did back in the day with the Pure title. So, you know.
I guess.
When it comes to this Champions Challenge thing, I never see it as creative. It's like, oh, right, we have champions. We didn't put them in matches. Oh, let's just put them all in one in the main event.
And a face and a heel teaming up. And it always, they couldn't work together. The manager, you know, Martini was wanting to use the book. And Briscoe was saying, no, we do it the right way or whatever. And eventually they just were fighting. And the book was used on Briscoe and the champions won. Doesn't make the world tag team champions double champions. I know not anymore, but doesn't make them look good. It was just horrible. And you know what, if we get the match, fine, but I feel like we got the pay-per-view to get through, these TV tapings where they're not really addressing it per se. It's going to be a while before we even get it, and it's just whatever. You had to do it. It would have been better if you kind of split these three up down the card and just had better matches out of it. But anyway, let's move on to Chicago.
Yeah, because that sounds like a much better show. I mean, out of the things here, I'm looking forward to ACH versus Jimmy Jacobs. The four corner like survival match, I could probably live without, but I'm sure it was fine because all four guys.
I thought it was okay. It was okay. Nothing offensive about it.
I like multi-man matches, so if you can tell like little stories in between, but really, the four of them really don't have anything really going on with each other. So that's why I'm kind of like, I'm sure it was fine, but I like the multi-man matches when there are stories between all the participants, you know, and they can kind of build little things here and there. The street fight, eh.
I mean, it was just brawling outside the crowd again. We couldn't really see it that much. I will say Lethal dressed up in his nice business attire for a street fight. Very creative. out and, you know, wrestling in his underwear, you know, whatever. But he made the most out of the situation he was put in, and, you know.
So explain to me this Ciampa thing. So he's a free agent? That's breaking news, guys. Breaking news.
He said I guess at the anniversary show, he was given a verbal offer. Let me see exactly what he said here, because, you know, there's legalities here and what it was official or is not official.
Yeah, don't get us sued, Greg. Come on. First time on the show and you get us sued.
Why not? But he said, like, I guess he had an offer, but because he got injured, they're kind of pulling it away, and technically he's a free agent. All I know is that the rest of it, he just kept going on and on and on. Of course, I've seen two and a half shows at this point, so I'm getting tired. The crowd doesn't care. They're booing it. I think, you know, even like the, you know, bringing up other past names like Punk and Cabana. I think the point was, you know, they were loose can't. I don't know if loose can is the right word, but they were kind of not favorable of management, you know, Steen, those kind of people. And then look at the success they've had. So he's like, he says he has a mind being in this state or something along those lines. It was horrible. If you buy it, fast forward over it. And the thing with Silas Young was, I don't know, telling them to leave. They had a face off. They'll have the match. I'm sure it'll be fine. But
they were feuding for a little bit for, you know, before Young got injured. So it kind of, you know, it works in a weird way.
Yeah, you know, fair enough. I totally forgot about that, but that's fine. It almost seemed like a way they weren't the only one. I think they were just trying to force the way to get the world title, not in the main event, so you could have, you know, they wanted to organically have the title match early in the show, where normally it would be scheduled for the main event. Because, you know, especially when someone already wrestled earlier in the show, you figure you'd give them all the rest they could to prepare for the main event, where they'd have to win two falls to potentially win the title, but whatever, you know, details. the match itself was just whatever. It was just a straightforward title match, as it would be for a match at that point of the show. It no real drama for it. Never felt the title was in doubt. It was just okay. I mean, things finally picked up. We skipped a Beer City Bruiser and Cheeseburger.
It happened. Move on.
Yeah,
it happened.
Okay. The tag title match. All right, tag title match. It was okay the first fall, because they were saving the rest for the actual title match, where things really turned up. A lot of good action, some good near falls. Never really thought the title was going to change hands, but it was good action. Crowd liked it. Very, very entertaining match. Again, the new team has potential. I'm looking forward to see what they have. Finally, main event, Joe versus Elgin. I felt this was very good. I'll say that. I think I liked it better than some people were giving it, saying like, oh, it was very good, not great. I put it towards great. I think Elgin had his working boots on this weekend, you know, trying to recover from his stupidity of the last year. And Joe is, man, you know, here his charisma really came out. You know, we're trying to do the Olay kicks on the outside, and there's always moves. I mean, the crowd was eating him up, just eating everything up, I should say, and just loving it. Again, Joe got the win with the submission. Great main event. All in all, I mean, you know, when you go with friends, you have a good time. And, you know, you sit GA, so you're not paying too much. I had a good time. You know, the problem is just such a letdown from last year. So, but ultimately, if you look at it, just, it was an okay show. But big picture, you know, a lot of failures there. I will agree with Jerome there.
So, Jerome, I mean, you kind of touched on this a little bit, but I want to get your reaction. So, you know, we get questions in mailbag@pwponderings.com. And one question that we seem to be getting a little bit more frequently now, especially even on Twitter and on Facebook, but it's when they use talent like an AJ Styles and Alberto El Patron, Matt Sydal, or The Addiction, is it becoming kind of a hindrance for Ring of Honor when they have to book them, but they can't book them to lose unless it's by, you know, those, you know, the screwy finishes? And obviously each is a different political situation. And how is that kind of affecting when you have cards like this where, I mean, the big point that you, Greg, and Jerome were saying is that the first half of these cards are practically missable. And then when these are on VOD, they're probably going to be, what, $14.99? And you look at that and you're like, I don't know if $14.99 is worth it to buy three matches.
Perhaps they should take the Shikara model and offer individual matches for purchases, you know? Yeah. Every little sale helps.
That would require a billion-dollar company to think ahead. I don't think they're doing that. Yes, it affects. it's a negative, and it is hurting the booking, I think.
Greg, your thoughts?
Oh, sorry, I was on mute there. Yeah, bringing all these stars. I don't know. It's just, I mean, they help the cards, but I don't know. I think I just zoned out there for a second. Sorry about that. I missed a question. I was reading the chat here.
No, it's fine. No, essentially just, you know, bringing in the talents, you know, when you have a show like this, and then in some way, you know, you can't book them without knowing, okay, they can't lose unless it's in this way. But then you have shows like this where basically most of the attraction is only half of the card. So is it kind of basically making the booking worse?
Well, I mean, I feel like you can load a card. I mean, they just chose not to here. I mean, we've seen, you know, Milwaukee and Chicago last year. They've had, you know, Styles and the Bucks, and they were able to load up the card. Of course, those were deemed bigger shows. But yeah, here, you know, where you have limitations in who can win, and you don't really have many other people on the card, yeah, it can hurt it. So it's a tough pickle. You need people who can draw. There's so many factors, and it's hard to, like, universally diss them.
Right,
over
make
decisions.
One blanket statement. Yeah, it's definitely hard. But I mean, obviously, those were the shows. I mean, it sounds, Greg, like you had a great time. Would you recommend, if you? It sounds like you would say if they're on VOD, maybe purchase the Chicago one first, and then maybe the Milwaukee one second if you really have to. Or which one would you?
I'm leaning towards Milwaukee right now. I know.
Oh, okay.
I'm trying to go, like, yeah, I said Chicago, that. But you know, as we go through the results here, I really liked Alexander and Elgin. You know, when you had you know, Chicago had a bigger crowd, but Milwaukee had a smaller but beer-infused crowd. So,
but Joe versus Elgin, man. Joe versus Elgin.
I mean, you know, yeah, it's like that tilts it maybe back towards Chicago. It's a toss-up. I think no matter which one you buy, you probably get the same number of good matches. So, and I will say, either one, you're not getting Kevin Kelly. So, you know, that's a positive.
Well, there you go. Not that Kevin Kelly listens to our show anyway. But Jerome, there's lots of other things going on with Ring of Honor right now. When you talk about some of the news, I mean, there's rumors galore going on right now.
Yeah, obviously one of the biggest ones is Jimmy Jacobs. He lost at IWA Mid-South on Sunday night. He was wrestling Ace Perry, lost a Loser Leaves Town match. Being built up for Ethan Page at AEW on Saturday. They will be wrestling in a Falls Count Anywhere match, and presumably that is going to be Jacob's swan song in AEW. And I guess, and this is very fitting, it looks like Jimmy Jacobs will be wrestling BJ Whitmer at Supercard of Honor in what should be a really emotional match, because those two guys have literally feuded everywhere and had every type of match you could possibly think of. So, very fitting the way that Jacobs has been going out with some of these matches and, you know, the places that he's been wrestling in for a really long time. You know, he's been in IWA Mid-South for 12 years. He's been with AEW for 10 years. You know, he's basically been with Ring of Honor, I would say, eight and a half years, if you take away some of the time he spent in the WWN universe. So Jacobs, obviously a big deal in the world of independent wrestling, and we're probably going to talk more about this when it's official. But yeah, it looks like Jacobs is going to WWE not as a wrestler, but as a full-time member of the creative staff. That's the rumors that are going around. So a very big deal, and a real positive, I would say, to be able to see some of Jacobs' last matches on the independent scene, as Greg and I are going to do this Saturday at AEW.
Yeah, I mean, I'm very excited for him, you know, to get this opportunity. And people say, oh, he should be a wrestler. Well, you know, sometimes, you know, wrestling a long time, the opportunity to be paid full-time, to do something you also love in the biggest company in the world, you know, him, and you also say Sarah Del Rey, someone in a similar boat, you got to be happy for him. So even if, yes, he may just be writing stupid scriptings, just filling out paper because it's all one voice who directs the show or who sets the vision. But so I wouldn't expect anything anytime soon.
I just want Jimmy Jacobs to walk into a creative room and Vince McMahon is already sitting in there, and he comes in with his pink hair and he just walks in there and Vince sees him for the first time. Man, I wish I could be a fly on the wall for that.
So he's going to be Abe Simpson, just go whoop, 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 and just walk right out.
Exactly. but yeah, we'll get into some other rumors going on surrounding Ring of Honor. But yeah, guys, you have a pretty big AEW show coming up. I'm excited for you. Why don't you guys talk about it?
So AEW is returning to Berwyn this Saturday, and they've really They've got a couple big shows coming up on March 21st. We're going to have Josh Alexander versus Johnny Gargano. Jimmy Jacobs is going to be wrestling Ethan Page. Those two matches were just announced tonight, as a matter of fact. But there's basically a full card already. Athena is wrestling Allison Kay in what is Allison Kay's second match in AEW, given the fact that Kay is sort of the person that AEW is going to be building their women's division around until Heidi comes back. I'm presuming that Kay is going to get the victory. OI4K, they returned and won the AEW tag team titles. They are wrestling Zero Gravity, their longtime rivals. We'll see how this latest chapter turns out. Dick Justice versus Gregory Iron. No, I'm not lying when I say this. It is a blindfold match. We haven't seen one of those in a long, long time, so that's going to be very interesting.
Hey, if you guys didn't see those videos of Blind Justice that AEW put out, you have to go watch them. They are hilarious. Oh, yeah.
I think if there's two guys that can pull a match off like this, it's these two guys. I wouldn't say that about a lot of really good independent wrestlers. I think these two guys can actually make this entertaining. And AEW Heavyweight Championship, that fantastic video, definitely check it out on AEW's YouTube page. Eddie Kingston as a babyface versus Silas Young as a heel. Probably the way the feud should have been done the whole time anyway. But I am very, very excited for this show. And Greg, I hope you are as well.
Very excited. More so for next month. But no, this is a very good lineup, too. I feel like, you know, looking at the lineup, I mean, you got to get a title off Kingston. I feel his title's losing steam. You got to try something else here. Man, Zero Gravity allows for killers. I feel like they just won the epic feud against the Hooligans in their title match, and they're going to lose already, or they're going to lose it already, or they're going to win, and Ohio was for Killers is going to already give it up, unless it was kind of a forced change, because, oh no, former champ is still there, so who knows. Christian Faith Linden should be good. Yeah, I said to the blindfold match, but, you know, my last memory of a blindfold match was not a good one. It was in TNA, and whatever, but...
Greg, it's TNA. It doesn't
count. Of course, you know, Electrified Cage. That was what a show that was.
Yikes.
but you know what? Now I think about it, yeah, that should be pretty good. And, you know, just look at the rest of the lineup. You know, the matches already announced tonight and matches that haven't been announced with some of the talent there. I mean, it should be a very good lineup. But I'm interested in talking about what's coming up the month after.
So on April 10th, AEW made the announcement, much to the... this created a lot of drama as AEW is running on April the 10th, and they announced that Samoa Joe would be wrestling. They have not announced who his opponent is going to be. A lot of people have been pining for Samoa Joe and Josh Alexander. We will have to see if that's how it turns out, but I know that that is the match that a lot of people particularly want to see. We'll see how that all turns out.
That would be so good. I'm just saying.
Yes, I completely agree. That's the match that I want to see as well. So that is obviously a huge deal for AEW. Just to have Samoa Joe in the Berwyn Eagles Club, I expect it to be super no vacancy for that reason alone. But also announced Tommy End, ACH, Tommaso Ciampa, Johnny Gargano. So many huge names added to this card. This is going to be one of the biggest AEW cards in a long time. Maybe the biggest one ever, just with some of those international talents, and just the quality is there. And it's also worth noting that Freelance Wrestling is also running on that night, so a lot of people sort of speculating, you know, the competition between the two. But, you know, the reality is that, you know, Tommy End is in the States. He's going to be, I believe he's in San Jose the week before, and he's wrestling at CZW on April the 11th. So AEW, to an extent, lucked out by being able to book Tommy End for this show. You know, some guys are available, guys like Gargano and ACH and Ciampa. Ciampa lives in Milwaukee now. He's no longer a New England guy, so that's why AEW is able to book him. And Freelance and AEW, you know, I think that this is a situation that I've been told is not going to happen again. Freelance had the building booked like a year ago. Mm-hmm. So there really wasn't anything that could be done. So I don't think that we should be focusing on the competition between these two groups. I think if regardless of the show that you go to, I think there's going to be a lot of really good wrestling and a lot of really good talent on both shows. Obviously, I think AEW is going to have the much stronger roster, but that's not to say the freelancers has a bad roster. I think it just speaks to more that AEW has a more established brand, but freelance wrestling, being able to run where they run, and they have done some really good crowds, they've had some really good matches, and if you look at some of the videos and the production quality of a freelance show, it is right up there with some of the best that you'll see in independent wrestling as a whole. So freelance wrestling, even though they're both on the same night, I mean, these are two companies that are both well worth supporting. And if you can't get to one, you definitely want to try to get to the other. And of course, that is also the weekend that Shimmer is running on April the 11th to 12th. And obviously, that is a huge deal for women's wrestling fans. And Dreamwave is running on April the 11th. So all of the Midwest companies, it seems, are running in one weekend. And I think there was a little bit of controversy on Twitter with if you read the subtext, Dreamwave had booked Samoa Joe first, and they booked him against Aria Daivari. And one of the things that Tony Riekin, who is the storyline AEW management type person, basically said that Samoa Joe would not be booked. And then that tweet was deleted, and then Samoa Joe was announced. And there was some subtweeting by the Dreamwave guys, a couple of the individuals there, and there seemed to be some hurt feelings. So a lot of controversy there as to what's going on. But the bottom line is, look, Samoa Joe is an international star, and if AEW has a chance to book him, regardless of, you know, what Dreamwave has done, look, Dreamwave is 89 miles away from Chicago, especially on that weekend. With all that's going on, I don't buy for a single second that a lot of people were going to go from Chicago to LaSalle to see Samoa Joe wrestle Aria Daivari. If I'm wrong, if 30 people email us and tell me that I'm wrong, I will be happy to rescind that statement. But to me, Samoa Joe versus Aria Daivari, whoever is going to go to that show is going to go to that show regardless of whether AEW had booked Samoa Joe or not. Because there was also the opportunity to see Samoa Joe in Ring of Honor and Ring of Honor in Chicago and Milwaukee this past weekend. So I don't think it's really a whole lot to worry about. And I think it's obviously great for both companies to just be able to have that guy on their show. I don't think it does any damage. If you ask me, AEW, Freelance, and Dreamwave are all going to have turnaway crowds April 10th and 11th.
Greg, do you have any thoughts on the whole situation?
You know, just looking at the whole thing, one, Tony did not delete that tweet. I was mistaken. It's still there if you want to look for it. And he just said, hey, I'm Puerto Rican. So, I don't know. It's weird. But I do find it funny that, you know, AEW is about to put tickets on sale on Wednesday. And honestly, I just think they like, wait, Joe's in town the day after? Strategery. And they delayed the on sale, announced him, and doubled front row ticket prices, nearly doubled, in order to get him on there. So. Yeah, or I'm sure there are other reasons. It's part of a loaded card, but so that's all kind of amusing. It's all great cards, man. You know, that weekend, Chicagoland, the Midwest, it's the place to be. Even Shimmer, I mean, we haven't even mentioned it. It's Tomoka's retirement weekend. There are going to be so many Joshi wrestlers there. I don't know who, but they all want to be there for her actual retirement.
Dave, in the chat room, please do not start listing all of them. You will get your chance to talk about the women wrestlers.
We will be previewing Shimmer pretty extensively, I'm sure, on a podcast. So The one good thing about this year as opposed to the last 2 years is Shimmer weekend is not the week after WrestleMania weekend this time. So there's a little bit of breathing room this time. So we at PWP are actually going to have a chance to do a podcast previewing Shimmer a little bit. So I'm looking forward to being able to do that because, the last couple of years with WrestleMania and doing all that preparation and all those reviews, you know, doing podcasts a little too much. But this year we're definitely going to be able to do that.
Quick question. Who gets a camera crew on that Friday show?
Oh, boy.
That's a good question.
That is because Freelance and AEW use the same camera crew. That is going to be utterly fascinating to see how that the politics of that situation work out.
Yeah, that's an interesting
to be continued.
Definitely. Well, guys, I mean, we have less than 20 minutes left live here on the show, but we've got tons of stuff to talk about. Not least, Jasmine apparently has been signed to a developmental deal with the WWE, and also Casey Cassidy, an Aussie wrestler. So, Jerome, obviously, you're a big fan of Jasmine.
Obviously, Chris. And the one thing I want to say is don't be surprised if some additional female talents are signed by NXT within these next few months. Keep an eye out on some of the female athletes, because you know, WWE is always looking to expand, especially with Triple H in charge, and you know, especially the international names. Definitely keep your eyes out on some of these guys, some of these ladies, because you know, Jasmine obviously was hired for a very specific reason. It's sort of an upside situation, you know. Maybe she's not the best wrestler now, but because of her heritage, because of sort of the international aspect of what she presents and what she brings to the table, she has a lot of appeal. And that's the kind of thing that I think Triple H is really going to be looking for, based on what he's done with NXT and guys like Finn Balor and Sami Zayn. And even in NXT, now that they've signed Jasmine, Becky Lynch, don't be surprised if you see more international names brought in by NXT in the next few months.
Nikki Storm or bust. Nikki Storm, excuse me. I have to say that properly.
Hopefully.
Well, there you go. There's that. And I mean, speaking of that, that's actually a pretty good segue into this. So there have been reports, and obviously Triple H went to take NXT on tour. There are just so many news items, rumors out there right now, particularly about, you know, NXT wanting to sign, well, WWE, but wanting to sign guys like the Briscoes. There, I know that Meltzer's reported that there are quite a few Ring of Honor names that are on their radar. And then another story kind of, I think it came out today, right, about the Young Bucks, Ring of Honor trying to retain the, actually it was last week, I know, in the Observer, but kind of getting more buzz today that, you know, Ring of Honor trying to retain their services. I mean, Jerome, you've talked to the Young Bucks many times, particularly on this website for podcasts. Do you really see them signing a Ring of Honor exclusive contract? I mean, I just don't see the upside.
I mean, it depends. You know, what is – so I agree with you, Chris, to an extent. But my thing is when I look at their New Japan career, I think New Japan is sort of the thing that is preventing them from really signing with Ring of Honor. But I look at what their appeal is to New Japan as the junior tag team champions. How long can they realistically sort of be in that role without it just getting completely stale? You know, obviously, they're going to get a chance to wrestle a fresh team with Trent Barretta and Rocky Romero. So obviously, you know, that's a couple months worth of action. You know, Red Dragon, you know, obviously those two teams can't have a bad match. So that's really good. But when you look at the Young Bucks situation, you know, obviously they both have families. There's going to come a point where, you know, maybe they do want to settle down a little bit and sign a Ring of Honor exclusive contract. You know, maybe not next month, but I think there is a distinct possibility that happens if the Young Bucks decide that they don't want to make these travels to Japan. So, you know, the Young Bucks are not going to be Young Bucks forever, so maybe they do want some security. I don't think there's, like, it's tough for me to look at the Young Bucks and say those guys are going to go to WWE at some point based on, you know, some of the things that we've heard and, you know, that are our public knowledge. I don't see the Young Bucks ever going to WWE, so Ring of Honor might actually be a good spot for them to sort of ply their trade as they get older and, you know, as they continue to evolve as talents. But, you know, obviously with the amount of merchandise that those two guys make and with the amount of money from all these independents, I mean, these guys are flown everywhere. FWE brings these guys in. AIW is bringing these guys in. You know, I know that there's a lot of other independents that just want to bring the Young Bucks in to be a part of their show. So you sort of have to take that into consideration as well. But, you know, obviously at some point, you know, maybe in 2016, maybe the Young Bucks do sign a contract with Ring of Honor because of, you know, whatever happens with New Japan. So can it happen? Yes. I would say in my mind, it's about 40% yes, 60% no. That's sort of where I'm at right now.
I feel that, it's quite a change from a few years ago where they were under a contract that kind of paid them for when they appeared, and they were barely used, which kind of turned them off to the whole, oh, we hate contracts, we're freelancers, we're going to work wherever the hell we want. These new contracts that are exclusive, the Coles, the O'Reillys, those types that get them, that pay them a living wage to work exclusively for them, and with opportunities to go to New Japan, this seems much more appealing to them today. So I think there's a good chance they'll sign it, and you know, I think it'll happen this year. So I think there's a better chance. I'm more positive for it than I guess you are.
It makes sense. No, definitely. I guess my stand is that I think to a degree, I understand that they would want to make that guaranteed money. But I also think there's a part of them that does enjoy making all these towns and kind of being out there, being in front of different groups of fans. And then obviously there's the merchandise. Like you said, Jerome, they sell tons of it. Not saying they couldn't honor Ring of Honor full schedule, but, you know. There's different things to weigh in there. And like you said, you know, could they go to WWE? Maybe. It's kind of doubtful. I think they were recently offered contracts, and then we saw they responded to the contracts from Lucha Underground. So, you know, you're not gonna get them cheap. You're going to pay them what they're worth, and they are worth quite a bit. So it happens. Also, you know, when it comes to Ring of Honor, we put this up, and it was in the Boston Herald. They talked to Spike TV president Kevin Kay. You can go check that out, pwponderings.com. But essentially what it came down to is those early reports of that, oh, there were serious talks with Spike TV, apparently not that serious, and then trying to, you know, say that, oh, they would be part of the Friday Night Lights kind of theme. And Kevin Kay just basically said, and this is a quote, "I don't know what we're going to do anything there, but if we do something, it's probably not part of Friday Night Lights Out. We want to keep that for real sports." So, you know, I mean, hey, I'm a cynical person by nature. I definitely think that, hey, if he was seriously in negotiations with Ring of Honor, he wouldn't tell us. But, you know, there is something to be said that when you make, you know, you kind of take that shot at professional wrestling, you know, it'd be kind of weird if all of a sudden, oh, look, Ring of Honor on Friday nights.
So I really wish. Go ahead, Greg.
I say they would kind of, you know, they kind of fit in. They would fit in on Friday nights, kind of similar to how New Japan kind of fits in right now on Access TV as the lead into their Friday night fights, if you will. But yeah, if they're not going to be part of that rotating lineup of kickboxing, MMA, whatever, Bellator, all that, then yeah, I mean, then they're basically just in the Impact slot, and they don't want to do that anymore. They're rebranding. They're changing what Spike's about. You know, it's gonna be more, not just the network for men anymore, but they're gonna just try to be more diverse. So if it's not gonna be as part of the rotation of real sports, then I don't see them fitting at all right now.
Agreed. Jerome, you were gonna say something?
I mean, I can see why there's an appeal to going to a cable network, but I would really like to see a negotiation with like a streaming service, be it specifically like Netflix or an Amazon or someone like that, and just to see what would happen, just to see if we could possibly get pro wrestling on a streaming service. I think it would almost be better for everyone involved to be able to watch content on demand, and you know, maybe not have to meet the ratings marks as much. And also, you know, I think one of the things that hurts wrestling is the advertising. For whatever reason, Pro Wrestling can do some decent numbers and ratings, but it doesn't get the quality of advertisers that a lower rated like sitcom rerun can get. So I would really like to see possibly Amazon or Netflix to see Ring of Honor try to go that route. But, you know, when you're with a company or owned by a company that, you know, is still working with syndicated television, I guess that's not realistic at this point.
If a company wants to pay for your programming, you got to consider it. But I think we're all agreeing it doesn't seem likely to happen with Spike anytime soon.
Yeah, I just don't see it. But yeah, so, I mean, like I said, lots of news that we've been talking about. We will be recording a podcast of Honor very soon this week to cover the next 2 weeks. So we have very little time left here on MixLR. So Jerome, as senior editor, You and I discussed this. It's, you know, WrestleMania weekend's coming up. It's a very busy time for our website. There's lots of things to preview. And then, of course, after that, lots of things to review. So for the next 2 weeks, tell our listeners that are here live, you know, what are some of the plans for the website?
So we're not going to be doing any live weekly newscasts the next 2 weeks. Next week, there's going to be three huge podcasts. We've got the Podcast of Honor with Ari, Chris, and Mickey O. We've got a Three Dudes Talking WrestleMania with Kevin Ford, Justin Houston, and Matt Waters. What a barn burner of a podcast that's going to be, given some of what I've read about WrestleMania this year. And I will be doing the WWN portion of the podcast previews. And I probably will also discuss WrestleCon a little bit. With Sierra Reed, we will be discussing Shimmer and Shine's contributions to the WWN weekend. And then Warren Taylor from Voices of Wrestling will be joining me for the Evolve and King of the Indies preview that I know everybody is excited for. Unfortunately, Ryan Rozanski has a school to worry about, so it is just me. I will be writing the reviews for Evolve's 39 and 40, the Shimmer, as well as the WWN Super Show Mercury Rising. And the reason there will not be a podcast in 2 weeks, presumably there is going to be some sort of a podcast involving Greg, or I'm not sorry, not Greg, with Chris, with Chris, Brian, and Dez, the PWP West Coast crew. Presumably they're going to be doing shows on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. I am not sure what my schedule is going to look like now without Ryan, so I will be determining that at a later point. But because of all the previews and all the reviews, there will not be a weekly newscast on the night after WrestleMania because, let's face it, too much podcasting over the weekend and too much writing. So I will not and also I will not even be in Chicago while that's going on. So that's another good reason for there not to be a weekly newscast. But there will be a women's podcast coming up in the near future talking about Shimmer and some of the other news. So it's amazing. I know that we're running out of time, Chris, but we have not even talked about AIW's show this Friday. We've still got a lot to talk about in the recorded portion of the podcast.
We do, definitely. We have very little time left here, but we want to thank everyone who listens to us live every week. It has been really fun. Obviously, we enjoy it. Our numbers are growing. We really appreciate that. You're letting your friends know that you listen to us live after Raw, so we appreciate that. And I do promise, Brian, Dez, and I, we're going to be recording practically every night during WrestleMania weekend, so those reviews will be up. I'm sure there's going to be a Podcast of Honor review. Jerome, like you said, you don't know what's going to happen without Ryan, but I mean, there's lots of other people to talk wrestling with that we would love to have on the site, so I'm sure that's going to happen as well. Before we get out of here, though, I do want to mention that our friends over at CWF Mid-Atlantic have a big show coming up March 21st, Madness in Any Direction. Lots of their titles are going to be on the line, so it's a really big show in Gibsonville, North Carolina. But as Jerome said, come back, subscribe to us on iTunes and Stitcher, and you will hear the recorded portion of this because we got a lot more news to get into. And Greg, want to thank you for coming on the show. Hopefully you can stay a little bit longer to talk some more topics. But before we get out of here, why don't you let people know where they can follow you on Twitter and all that good stuff?
Yes, I just changed my Twitter handle over the weekend. Sorry for the confusion on the website, but it's at TGD287. You can just follow me on there. Facebook, Greg Davis, even though it's mostly just me posting my tweets there. But hey, let's be friends or whatever. Hang out, do things.
Yeah, I love that, Greg. You change your name the day after I credit you for all the Ring of Honor results. Terrible.
Yeah, it's what I do.
All right, folks. Thank you, everyone, for listening to this live portion of the newscast. As I said, stay tuned. We got lots more topics to talk about. All right, so we're here in the extra portion of the newscast. There's so much news to talk about. We had to record this extra portion. No reviews, unfortunately, of Lucha Underground and Ring of Honor TV as normally. But like Jerome said on the live portion, we got tons of stuff coming up for you. You will be sick of us after the next couple of weeks when it comes to podcasts. So starting off here, I did want to point out, so our friends over at PWI Pro, they had their title vacated this past weekend by Gregory Helm. So Zane Dawson won it on the PWI Pro Night of Champions. He defeated Eric Royal and Trevor Lee with an assist from The Riot. So he is the new PWI Heavyweight Champion. CWF Mid-Atlantic, they have a show March 21st, Madness in Any Direction, featuring Marcellus King versus Evan Banks, Amy Love versus Nikki Storm, RGL champion Ethan Alexander Sharp and television champion Manny Garcia versus the Mid-Atlantic Tag Team Champions Chet Sterling and Trevor Lee. This is a one-fall special challenge match. Basically, everyone's championship is at stake. And then there is a six-man tag team elimination match featuring Andrew Everett, Eric Royal, and the Mid-Atlantic Heavyweight Champion Brad Attitude versus the Riot. So go check it out March 21st, Gibsonville, North Carolina. It's going to be a big show. Also wanted to point out, we have some Beyond Wrestling news. JT Dunn is going to face his former partner, David Starr, on April 26th. This is the scorned portion of that show. They're doing a doubleheader that day. But they also have the Young Bucks versus the Ninjas with Altitude. Steve Corino versus Matt Tremont, AR Fox versus Mike Bailey, and the Garden State Gods versus the Crusade for Change.
And why don't you mention Drew Cordero and being able to hear what he has to say about the Kimberly Chris Dickinson situation.
Absolutely. That we recorded a podcast with him. And you know what? We were going to release it, but I mean, I had to do some editing to it. And of course, we have the podcast out with Larry Legend that you can listen to right now, talking a very different viewpoint when it comes to independent wrestling. But yeah, Drew Cordero, he joined us. He answered all of your guys' questions about that controversy. And when I say that Drew has been in podcasts with us that are can't miss, this is one of them. So, for sure, check that. I also want to point out that there is some pretty big news coming from Smash Wrestling. They have announced Smash On Demand, which is basically, it's like a WWE network. It's like, you know, WWE Live with their on-demand stuff. I believe it's only $7.49. I'll double-check on that. But it's a pretty good price. You get all of their events, Smash Wrestling, coming up in the world. So, go check them out. And, yeah, that is pretty much it. Jerome, there's some other topics that that we couldn't cover on the newscast. First time I think we've ever had to really go over on that show. So why don't we get into them?
So, yeah, I think one of the biggest stories this week is NXT announced that they were going to have a show on the Friday night before WrestleMania. They put tickets on sale, and it sold out in 2 hours. 4,000 tickets were sold in 2 hours. And, you know, I have a theory that Triple H is the smartest man in wrestling and that he is, in fact, the Frank Underwood of pro wrestling. And this about confirms it. This NXT show, if this was aired on the WWE Network, this would probably be the most anticipated live show of the entire weekend. And that includes any of the WWN shows, any of the Ring of Honor shows. I think people are really excited about NXT. And, you know, to me, I think the TV show is very hit or miss. But it says a lot when an NXT show is going to do 4,000 people on the West Coast. This isn't even Florida. This is, you know, obviously there's a, you know, a million subscribers to the WWE Network. So, you know, they do have a rather large pool to pull from. But I think it's pretty amazing that people are going to be spending part of their Friday night at NXT, as opposed to independent wrestling or, you know, doing something else in San Francisco or San Jose. So this is a huge deal, I think. If NXT can really get itself to be touring, I know that they have a couple of dates possibly at the old ECW Arena the same week as Ring of Honor's running their New Japan shows. I mean, it's just huge for NXT to be able to do this. And we'll have to see what happens. You know, I think there's been a lot of conversation. You know, what is this going to do to the independent scene? I don't think it's going to really hurt the indies that much. I know that there are some people that think doom and gloom, but I'm not totally convinced of that at this point. WWE loses interest in things very quickly, so NXT could go away at literally any time. You know, I'm not too sure if that's going to happen per se. With Triple H sort of having his tentacles in it. But, you know, I don't think there are any guarantees. I think the company that is going to get hurt by this is Ring of Honor. And it's not even necessarily all NXT's fault. You know, I mentioned this in the live portion. I think Ring of Honor, they don't do a good enough job replenishing their talent. So if they lose, you know, an Adam Cole and a Jay and Mark Briscoe by the end of the year, as has been rumored, you know, then that does a lot of damage. You know, Jimmy Jacobs is not a guy that's been pushed, but him going to WWE does hurt the depth of this company. So I think the place that's going to be hurt the most by NXT is Ring of Honor, and that is true for WrestleMania weekend, and that's really true for the next few months.
Well, it's also, I mean, it should be mentioned that the Ring of Honor show, Supercard of Honor, it's already sold out, so they're not losing any tickets, which I think is pretty strange, but all of this came together at the last minute, and that's probably a different topic for another time. But Samoa Joe being announced to go up against Jay Briscoe, and then you have BJ Whitmer versus Jimmy Jacobs and what could be his swan song with Ring of Honor. I'm sure this could have added quite a few people, you know, going, hey, now I'm really going to go to the show. Or watch it on iPay-per-view. It's not going to happen. So this NXT show, does it really take anyone away? I don't think so. I'm going to be at Ring of Honor live. I'm going to be enjoying Joe versus Briscoe live. But yeah, I would love to be able to get to that NXT show within time. But it's a pretty far drive. So.
And for the record, I would, for Samoa Joe and Jay Briscoe, you know, the Ring of Honor card is not going to be that spectacular based on past Supercards of Honors. But I, for Samoa Joe and Jay Briscoe, I would absolutely be there. And, you know, if it's to see Jimmy Jacobs' last match in Ring of Honor against BJ Whitmer, I would absolutely want to be there for that and not miss it for any show, WWN or NXT.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, like I said, I think it's gonna be pretty fun. But also, Jerome, Friday, March 20th, AIW has their Gauntlet for the Gold. Takes place in Cleveland, Ohio. They have announced the absolute title. Josh Alexander with Veda Scott defends against Dick Justice. The Forgotten defend the AIW tag titles versus To Infinity and Beyond. Team Barely Legal explodes. Jasmine versus Alexa and Nicole. And with what we announced on the live portion, Jasmine getting signed by WWE, you know, we'll see what happens in that match. Ricky Shane Page versus Too Cold Scorpio and Raymond Rowe versus Johnny Gargano. So it should be a fun time. And then, of course, the Gauntlet for the Gold itself. So, Jerome, your thoughts on this?
The Gauntlet for the Gold is always important. AIW builds to Absolution every year, and that takes place in late June, early July. And this is the start of the buildup. AIW this year, they've got the Gauntlet for the Gold this year on the 20th of March. In April, they have another show with Mickey James and the Young Bucks. In May, as it was announced tonight, they will be having the two-night JT Lightning Invitational Tournament, as well as AIW's Girls Night Out. So it's all building up to Absolution, which is AIW's biggest show of the year, and it's going to be a lot of fun. Despite, you know, some unfortunate happenings with Tim Donst, you know, we want to continue to send out our best wishes to him. I know that there was a recent article that was written about him. That's, Chris, I hope you can find it and put it in the show notes.
Yeah, it's in the AIW Facebook page. So yeah, I'll have the link to it.
So yeah, it's really great just to see that there is some hope. But, you know, I think the one positive thing is that, you know, Josh Alexander gets an opportunity with the title. And, you know, I think we'll have to see what happens. I think it's going to be a really outstanding period of time for AIW. It's the best time of the year. And that's pretty much it.
Greg, did you have any thoughts about AIW? Any thoughts on the show?
It's hard to say. I don't really follow them too much. Not out of any bad intent. It's just, you know, there's so much to follow here in Chicago and other national promotions that, you know, you can't follow everything. And I don't pirate the shows, so, you know, I just watch what I watch. And unfortunately, AIW just, they're not on my radar right now. And that's unfortunate, you know, because I do want to get out to a show. But, you know, just my purchases are elsewhere at the moment.
For sure. So, guys, you know, I think, Jerome, you wanted to talk about Evolve 38, though, before we got out of here. You got a chance to see it. And apparently you agree with a lot of the other critics. It was a really good show.
Yeah, I think the other critics pretty much nailed it this time. I think there was a lot of really good stuff on the show. I think Birds and Andy's a little more than even some of them. I thought Roderick Strong and Drew Galloway was an outstanding main event. Despite, you know, I thought I was going to hate it based on some of what I was hearing. But I thought it was a really, really intense brawl. And I think these two guys are telling a a really good story. I think WWN is actually doing the best job of booking Roderick Strong right now. Even though, you know, he works in PWG, he works in Ring of Honor. I think WWN is actually doing the best job with him right now. So good for them on that. And Drew Gulak and Chris Hero was really good as well. And they're sort of building up to Biff Busick and Chris Hero. That's the big match. And, you know, I got to give Gabe some credit here for really pushing Biff Busick and really starting to give him some opportunities. So I think this is it was a really outstanding show. Matt Cage was very good. And, yeah, a lot of really good stuff on Evolve 38. And I think it builds well to Evolve 39 and 40. You know, the last couple of years have been a disaster for WWN. If they can keep Teddy Hart and if they can start the shows on time, not have iPay-per-view problems, this could be a really good year for them. This might be the year that the WWN curse is broken.
I'm really glad to hear that. I mean, I'm looking forward to watching it. I think that their reboot has been, you know, kind of hit and miss, but I've enjoyed the wrestling, which I think we've always mentioned. The wrestling is good. But yeah, with your recommendation, like I said, and Samuel's, I'm looking forward to checking it out. And then I'll be there live at 39 and 40. So it should be a lot of fun. Like we said on the live portion, lots of coverage on our part. So look forward to it. It should be really great. Obviously, WrestleMania weekend is a big weekend. And it's going to be a little while until you hear another newscast. But fear not, like we said, tons of podcasts coming your way. I almost don't even think there's very much else, unless there's anything else you guys really wanted to talk about.
Well, I just want to say, you know, because you know, I'll be not be there with you guys. I'll be watching some of your shows on pay-per-view. One thing I got to say about WWE Live pay-per-views, the pre-orders just went up today, I believe. Why weren't they up earlier when you were announcing all these matches? You know, there's a lot of impulse moments where I could have said, wow, this is great. Shut up and take my money right now. I'm giving it to you. And they wouldn't let me order it. And, of course, this is also the company that charges more the day of the show for, you know, not pre-ordering in advance during that exclusive two-week window. So, Gabe, you got to improve that stuff. As soon as the show is announced, just get the pre-order up and let us buy it whenever. Even people who want to pay without seeing a card, fine, let them do that. But when you're announcing your cards, then allow me to pay for money as well.
And I think raising the pay-per-view price $5 on the day of is incredibly stupid. You probably hurt your buy rate by doing that. So that's never something that I've been a fan of. With tickets, it's a little bit different. When it comes to the iPay-per-views, it makes absolutely no sense.
Yeah. I usually would just say get them early and save that $5. So
I mean, that's a solution. You know, I'm sure people are wondering what our thoughts are on a big article that was written by Mike Johnson for PW Insider about what, you know, some of the things going around with the piracy and FWE and Tommy Dreamer. I'll just summarize our viewpoints. You know, piracy is bad. You shouldn't do it. But there's lots of other things that independent wrestling should consider. And hopefully we can dedicate more time to this topic in a few weeks when we come back. So not really enough time to address it, but let's hold off. Let's put the pitchforks away. Yes, piracy is bad, but there's only so much you can do. So that's all I got to say about that.
For sure. Okay, so why don't we get out of here? Before we do, I just want to also plug the We Love Pro Wrestling group. They always help us out, so we want to encourage everyone to go check out their WrestleMania giveaway. Lots of prizes, including those from Infinity Pro and Beyond Wrestling. Wildcat also. I think you can win DVDs. There's shirts. I know there's one from from David Starr. There we go. So go check it out. Look it up. We Love Pro Wrestling. It's also a group. It's also a page, so you can find information there. Drum, before we get out of here, could you tell people what they can expect from you?
Continue to read articles at pwponderings.com. You can follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/JeromePWPEditor. Next week, I will be a part of a podcast with Warren Taylor and Sierra Reed discussing the WWN shows plus WrestleCon. I will also be doing the write-ups for Evolve's 39-40 and the WWN Super Show, as well as Shimmer 71. So going to be a lot of big stuff and very busy with Pro Wrestling Ponderings material the next couple weeks.
Most definitely. There's a lot of stuff. By the time you listen to this, you can already check out the Larry Legend podcast, where he talks about Ring of Honor, CZW, and a different aspect of professional wrestling on the indie scene. And pretty soon we're going to be putting up the podcast with Drew Cordero. So if you've been wondering where that went, trust me, it's coming. He answers all of your questions. It was a really great time, and of course we hope to have Drew on again. So go check that out. As always, follow us on social media, PW Ponderings on Facebook and on Twitter. Use our High Spots links. They got new shows out. They have new PWG stuff out. They have new shoot interviews all the time. So just bookmark pwponderings.com/highspots. So that way, every time you buy from High Spots, you help us out. Give us 4 or 5 star reviews on Stitcher and iTunes. We really appreciate it. And of course, listen to us live after Raw every Monday, mixlr.com/pwponderings, or just go to our Facebook page and you can use the widget there where you can just click play and you'll hear us live. So again, thank you everyone for listening. We'll talk to you again real soon.
What season? All right.
Hey, it was cold today. It was like 60 something.
Oh my God. Shut, 70. Shut up.
It was 70 here, and it's already 40 now.
Hey, it was 47 was our cold last night. Man, was that cold.
Anyway, let's go.
I had to put on a long sleeve shirt, man. God.